It's River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. Successful Iowa business owners, innovators, venture capitalists, well over 100 well-known speakers gathering this week in Iowa City for EntreFest. It's tagged as 3 days of game-changing training and inspiration. And as I mentioned, so many speakers coming in to give their perspective on this word, entrepreneur and entrepreneurship. So we want to tackle that this hour as well. In just a few minutes, we'll meet several of them who are coming to speak and to present. But first of all, we want to talk with Amanda West, Executive Director of EntreFest. She's in our Iowa City studio, co-founder and CEO as well of Seed Here Studio. We'll find out about that as well. Amanda West, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
We want to reach out to our River to River listeners. We know there are a lot of entrepreneurs out there, perhaps an entrepreneurial spirit who hasn't realized it yet. You are right on target with this hour. Perhaps you're a small business owner. You've experienced success or failure. Tell us about it. Tell us perhaps a piece of advice that you would give to a budding entrepreneur. 1-866-780-9100. Is our toll-free number, 1-866-780-9100, river-to-river at iowapublicradio.org. Our email, tweet us at IPRTalk, or find Iowa Public Radio on Facebook to give us your feedback, your question. Amanda West, a lot of listeners would have been hearing EntreFest for the first time. You haven't been around that long. Has it been a couple years?
This will actually be the eighth year of EntreFest.
The eighth year
of
EntreFest.
But it's the third year for it to come back to the Creative Corridor.
Okay, very good. So shorthand, what's shorthand for describing what's going on?
So EntreFest is Iowa's entrepreneur conference. And what that means is it's the gathering of everyone in the state of Iowa who is really pushing forward new ideas and new businesses and new business models.
Mm-hmm. So are these types of gatherings common in other parts of the country? I'm sure they are.
I think that, yes, we see a renaissance, really, of entrepreneurship all over the country and all over the world, and there are really fantastic gatherings everywhere. I do think that this is growing to be something quite unique from what we've seen in other places, and we're very excited about that.
Over 100 speakers here participating. People can it runs from tomorrow, Wednesday through Friday.
That's correct.
And far too many speakers to list here, but give a crack at some of the highlights here, please.
There are so many highlights. That's one of the things that we're so excited about this year. It's really an event that's just grown and grown. So this will be the third year that our company, Seed Here Studio, has been producing it. It's doubled in size each year. Speakers this year, our headlining keynote, which is presented by Kirkwood, is Seth Godin, who is the most prolific writer and blogger. He's been named the number one blogger in the world. If you knew that there was a Blogger Hall of Fame, he actually sits at the top of it. And legitimately, he's written 18 best-selling books, including Lynchpin and Tribes. And a lot of people have heard of him or heard his stuff before, and he's actually going to be here with us. So he's the one that we're super, super excited about. But in addition to that, we have Trevor Owens. He wrote the book The Lean Enterprise. It is the definitive book on corporate innovation. So entrepreneurship, not just about starting your own business, hanging out your own shingle, but developing a new business model or a new way forward for existing companies is something that we need. So Trevor's coming to speak about that. We have Sarah Kuntz. She is a venture capitalist working in New York. She's been named one of the top unknown tech rock stars in the country. She is coming to talk about how to emulate Silicon Valley the right way. We're not trying to be Silicon Valley, but what do we want to take from what's going on there that makes sense for Iowa? We have the Director of Innovation and Entrepreneurship from the Federal Department of Commerce coming. We have the founder of Tan World, who that's a very successful tanning franchise, and they're from Sioux City. So it really runs the gamut from national speakers, statewide speakers, John Papajohn. There's just so many, we can't even name them all.
Okay. Well, you can find out the rest of them and more about the ones that Amanda West mentioned by going to EntreFest.com, right?
That's correct,
and
yes.
Finding out about the lineup over the next 3 days. Let's meet some of the people involved in this year's EntreFest taking place in Iowa City beginning tomorrow. Simeon Talley is with us. He's a founder of an organization, a company called Guns and Butter, and he's behind this year's EntreFest fashion show and EntreFest pop-up showroom. Simeon Talley, welcome to our program.
Glad to be here.
Now, Guns and Butter that you founded is a political fashion line?
It's a political t-shirt line. And I basically want to do two things with Guns and Butter. One, create really cool t-shirts that people actually want to wear. And secondly, create t-shirts that give people a sense that they're a part of something bigger than themselves. Mm-hmm. So what I do and what I mean by that is I create t-shirts that are inspired by a political idea, political concept, but also connect the purchase of that t-shirt to a charitable or nonprofit or advocacy organization. So you're buying a really cool t-shirt that looks good, that's stylish, but you're also, by making a purchase, you're donating money to an organization that's making people's lives better each and every day.
Mm-hmm. So give us some examples of some of your more successful shirts.
So the most recent collaboration is a t-shirt and a design inspired by sex trafficking, an effort to raise awareness for sex trafficking in Iowa specifically. So the shirt says anti-sex slave in really cool graffiti graphic and text. And then I'm partnering with a few organizations so that the t-shirt, for every t-shirt sold, some of the money goes to their efforts here in the state of Iowa.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so and these can be found where? On, you buy them online or certain shops?
You can buy them online now. GunsXButter.clothing. It's pronounced Guns and Butter, but spelled GunsXButter.clothing.
Okay, so only t-shirts. You don't do any other type
only,
of shirts?
Only t-shirts right now. Yeah, okay. I just want to sort of do that really, really well.
Okay. The fashion show, you are the originator of the Entrefest fashion show this year. What will that be happening?
Yeah, the theme is work hard, play hard, the style of the modern entrepreneur. And so what we want to do is we want to present looks and styles that take you through the life, the day of sort of the modern entrepreneur. And what we mean by modern entrepreneur is that we're going to present business, formal, casual looks, you know, your standard suit and tie, pants and button-down shirt. But we're going to present looks that are fashion-forward and edgy, an opportunity for some of the downtown Iowa City boutiques and designers who have independent lines themselves throughout the state to present some really cool clothes, looks, and styles during the fashion show. So it's really the fashion show and connecting it to Entrefest is an opportunity and a platform for these designers, for these people who are boutique owners, a platform for them to sort of get their work out there and expose sort of the cool things they're doing to more people.
We all know the slow food movement. There is the slow clothes movement. Tell us about that.
Right.
So that is competing a different way of getting your clothes compared. I mean, a lot of our clothes come from countries in the world, third world countries, where the pay is not very good. And that's why we get our clothes at a great price. But the slow clothes movement is a little different.
Yeah, I think it ties into sort of this idea, this concept of being more sustainable with the products that we're consuming, with the food, the resources that we're using. And so you can actually sustainably source clothing right now. And there's movement, you know, interest in that all across the world to sort of for consumers to be more conscious of where their clothes are actually produced, manufactured, the type of materials they're made from.
Mm-hmm. Okay. What about people who are concerned about taking, even though they're low-paying jobs, taking jobs away from people who really need them to support their families in other parts of the world?
Sure. But I think there are other ways to address alleviating or uplifting people who are living in poverty in countries across the world. It's issues of trade and global economic inequality. I think those are macro issues that, you know, get into the relationships of countries, of the United States in the relationship with other countries, or even international organizations like the IMF or World Bank, even some more the UN. There are lots of really cool, interesting organizations working on those efforts as well, though.
Join our conversation as we discuss Entrefest taking place over the next 3 days in Iowa City, Iowa City's entrepreneurs conference taking place this year with over 100 speakers, and Simeon Talley is one of those. Amanda West, the executive director of Entrefest, with us as well. Join our conversation if you're a small business owner. Perhaps you have the dream of starting something. You have this little idea you want to launch. You want to know what is the footpath to get to that, or at least find out if it's feasible, because I think that's the first step. We want to talk about that a little bit later as well. 1-866-780-9100. Perhaps you are a successful entrepreneur. You've achieved something there. What bit of advice would you throw into our conversation? 1-866-780-9100, river to river at iowapublicradio.org. Tweet us at IPR Talk or find Iowa Public Radio on Facebook. Diana Wright is with us in our Ames studio. Hello, Diana.
Thank you for having me here. Thanks.
You're one of EntreFest's sponsors from Iowa State University. You've worked at Dwolla in Des Moines and recently graduated from ISU. Tell us a little bit about your background and how you connect with EntreFest.
Yeah, so I'm at the ISU Papa John Center for Entrepreneurship. So it's unique that I went to Iowa State, I did all things entrepreneurship here, and went to Dwolla, and pretty much full circle now I'm back here again at the Iowa State Papa John Center promoting entrepreneurship to the students at Iowa State.
And Ben Milne of Dwolla will be one of the featured speakers. For those who don't know, what is Dwolla?
Yeah, so Dwolla, it's a payment startup, basically making the easiest way that you can move money over the internet, online, on your phone.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so Diana, you're looking at this. You're a young entrepreneur, and we heard from Amanda that this is really an age where we're having a renaissance, I think is the word. Do you see it that way? Do you see like the country, the business is your oyster, and you're ready to tackle this?
Yeah, I definitely do. You know, I know students right now, or even younger people, it's really about finding what they're passionate about. And it's unique that they can do that, you know, whether they are at college doing it and kind of finding the time actually to start their own business because they have all the resources right there. Mm-hmm. So I think it's definitely the time, especially to go to EntreFest.
Amanda West, tell us a little bit more about our day and age and business. So when we look back over the 20th century and generations or two ago, the ideal was to, I don't know, have a lifelong career at IBM. Let's just say something like that. You stay with one solid company for decades. You get a nice retirement. And what makes our age so open to entrepreneurship, where perhaps, of course, there have been entrepreneurs for ages?
Absolutely. I mean, in Iowa, you definitely see just the roots of entrepreneurship in agriculture and the big companies that we have here that are very successful, ACT, Pearson, Rockwell, so many others. And those were all started by entrepreneurs. But I think the thing about those is that they were so unique. And it took a very certain person in a very certain set of circumstances to be able to get over the barriers of entry to launch something and make it successful. And that's still true, but we really do live in a time where entrepreneurship and creativity has been democratized. And the reason for that is, I think, multifaceted, but the internet does give us tools so that everybody can be more creative and have the tools to take the ideas and the passions that are inside of them and put them out into the world. And we're seeing a transition from the industrial age to one that is really driven by creativity. And we're dealing with a lot of problems that the industrial age gave us, as well as the prosperity that it gave us. So we're sort of in this new time when we need more people to play, and they have the tools and they have the capacity, and so we can go out and solve a lot of the problems that we've been facing. And some of the ones that Simeon was just talking about, poverty around the world, there's great possibility, and if with more minds at it, that's just really exciting. And we live in a time where your network is more important than necessarily how much money or capital or machines you have. And so then so many more ideas can come to fruition. And EntreFest is really designed to propel that network forward by getting 1,000 people into downtown Iowa City for 3 days to really connect with each other. And the speakers, we think, bring them here. But things like the fashion show create this really cool environment to just meet other people who are going to help you advance your ideas.
As Simeon Talley, founder of Guns and Butter, a political fashion line specializing in T-shirts. So take us back to the story, the genesis of that. When did that pop into your head? First, this idea. What gave you the idea?
Good question. So I worked on the Obama campaign in 2008, and I've been involved in politics for most of my life. And I guess at some point it clicked, or I had the idea that I wanted to do something creative, having a creative outlet for some of my political ideas. And I just sort of, why not create a T-shirt line that was politically inspired, but that was really artistically driven, and that tried to connect with the culture, where the culture was at in that moment. And that's something I really didn't see other political T-shirt lines do before me. So I thought that if I could create a T-shirt line that was political, that gave this gave people this sense that they're part of something bigger than themselves, but that was highly artistically driven. The designers and the artists I'm working with are some of the talents not only throughout the state, but throughout the entire country. And stayed culturally relevant, that this can be successful. And I just want to say that Amanda and her entire Entrefest team in the seat here studio have been very helpful to me throughout my journey. Anytime you have an idea, and being an entrepreneur is just really having an idea and acting out on it, right? Anytime you have an idea, the first people you want to go to are Amanda and our partner, Andy Stahl. And they've been tremendously influential and helpful in building and supporting entrepreneurs throughout the state and in this community. And I have personally benefited from their mentorship and their support and their general like feedback and, you know, say, man, you should think about this or you can do this better. And it's helped me grow.
Mm-hmm. Amanda West, we have to get a little more background on you. You were a University of Iowa student who started some projects at the university, including something that may be well known to our listeners, the 10,000 Hours show, people volunteering to earn tickets to major musical acts. And this was something that turned out to be extremely successful. So let's have you address that question that Simeon just touched on. You have an idea. All of us have ideas. Most of them are not realized. You have an idea. You say it's a good idea. You might just say, okay, I'll go back and keep up with my daily job. How do you test an idea? Give it a test. Poke it a little bit to see if it might be something more than that this world, that your community doesn't have yet, that other people are interested in. How do you do that?
So we start with the definition of entrepreneurship, or who is an entrepreneur? Because as you're hinting at, so many people have an idea, but they think I'm not an entrepreneur. That's not me. And so if we just start there with, we consider an entrepreneur to be someone who is pursuing an idea without regard to the current resources that they control. So you have an idea. It may be the right idea. It may be half an idea. You maybe have some cash to put toward it, you may have none. You maybe have some of the knowledge, you probably don't have everything you need. You don't have all of the resources, you don't know all of the people, you don't actually know how to do the idea. Sometimes the ideas aren't even legal yet. There's so many things about an idea that you have to work through as an entrepreneur. So what you do is you put one step in front of the other and you work through the process. And so it's really hard. You feel super isolated. Many people do not understand what you're doing. They see all the things that are wrong with what's happening and why you're the way you're going about it, why it won't work. So you feel like you're crazy and you don't have you don't have most of the resources that you need, let alone the knowledge. And so Entrefest is actually designed to help solve multiple problems around that in 3 days. So we surround you by other people who are crazy and have stepped out and they're putting one foot in front of the other. And so you can be there with them and realize that you might be crazy, but you're not the only one and that you should keep going. You can find other people who have the other half of your idea and help you go forward. You can find resources. We have over 50 organizations that support entrepreneurs in testing and pursuing their ideas all in one room. So you can actually walk into this room and meet everybody who is in the state that's ready to help you make your idea happen. Mm-hmm. And there's just serendipity. If you put yourself out there and you start talking about it and you start doing it, you're going to go on an adventure with it, but you'll find the right way. We definitely think you should not quit your job as soon as you have an idea.
All right.
But you should pursue it and explore it.
Okay. What about I understand the need to talk with other people about your idea, to bounce it off other people. But at the same time, you've got a really good idea. A lot of the people are going to be concerned that will just be, oh, that's a pretty good idea. It won't work for this reason. Somebody will pocket your idea and go off with it. How do you avoid that?
So it's exactly this, that an idea is, if you think about it, it's just like a little blip of a inspiration. Actually realizing and making a good idea happen is one of the hardest things to do I think, in our lives. And so the people who are actually going to stick with it and have the resolve and the perseverance and find and pursue the resources and connections that they need, those are the people that are going to make it happen. So it's very unlikely that you have an idea that someone else is just going to take and run with and make it happen as well as you could.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Simeon, I see you nodding your head there as far as the challenges you ran into after having this idea of politically based T-shirts. What were your biggest challenges after that in the nuts and bolts of realizing it? Where, did you reach a point where you said, this is starting to feel like too much work, or were you?
I would just say that having an idea and being an entrepreneur is a exercise in how persistent you really are willing to be. Most days when you start out are not days where you're going to see tremendous success. You're going to sell 1,000 T-shirts, or everyone's going to like your idea. Or if you post something on Facebook or social media, you're going to get, you know, a million likes and whatnot, or everybody's going to respond to your email. One of the first emails I sent out about starting a T-shirt line was to Mike Draper, the founder of Raygun. It was a rambling email, probably too long, but it responded to me in less than 24 hours. Some other inquiries or emails I sent out for feedback, I didn't get a response. But I referenced Mike Draper because, like Amanda and like Andy, there are people who are tremendously talented, have been successful in their own right in Iowa, and they're very approachable. And that's the thing I think that separates Iowa and this community from other places, that most of the people that you look up to that you think are doing really cool things are seriously just an email, a phone call. They're very close to sort of you being able to connect with them and get feedback. So be persistent, but never be intimidated or be afraid to sort of reach out and try to connect with people who you think can help you.
Mm-hmm. Very quickly, before we have to go, Amanda, we have literally just a few seconds to go, but failure. Entrepreneurs experience failure all the time. How do you approach failure?
You just keep going. I mean, if you quit, then you failed.
But you do run into, you can have a bad idea, which will never work.
You can, but it could have a seed of the right idea. And what you have to do is peel back the layers and find the right thing that's in it. And so you have to listen as an entrepreneur, and you have to persevere.
Okay. We will persevere with this program after a short break. Amanda West, thank you very much. Executive Director of EntreFest, co-founder and CEO of Seed Here Studio. People find out more about EntreFest taking place beginning tomorrow in Iowa City at EntreFest.com. Simeon Talley of Guns and Butter and Diana Wright, one of EntreFest's sponsors in our AIM studio. Thank you both for joining us as well. When we come back, we'll talk with one of my guests, the host and founder of something called the Slow Hustle Podcast that deals with entrepreneurships and startups. We'll be back in just a moment. It's River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. And we're back with more of River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. Do you have the heart, the mind, the spirit of an entrepreneur? What might you need to awaken it if it hasn't been awakened already to launch that big idea that... Or a little idea, I guess. Those are good ones. They can be good, too. An idea that you thought would change your community, add to your community, your state, perhaps something that our world needs that you have not identified there on the landscape. Join our conversation as we talk about entrepreneurship. EntreFest is something taking place this week in Iowa City, beginning tomorrow through Friday. It's in its eighth year, and over 100 speakers who will be giving their perspective on this idea of entrepreneurship and the life and the times that we live in and the type of life that you might lead that is different than the one you have right now if you pursue an entrepreneurial path. Join our conversation, 1-866-780-9100, river to river at iowapublicradio.org. Tweet us with your question or your experience, good or bad, as an entrepreneur. Tweet us at IPR Talk or find Iowa Public Radio on Facebook. Joining me to kick off this half hour is Peter Awid, host and founder of the Slow Hustle Podcast. Peter lives in Decorah and is also involved in several startups. Peter, welcome to the program.
Ben, thanks for having me.
So, the Slow Hustle Podcast is all about entrepreneurial ideas. What do you do?
It's what I call managing the pendulum swing of entrepreneurship. And so, we'll interview successful entrepreneurs and talk to them about their hustle and what they're working on, what they've worked on in the past. But more specifically, the slowness aspect is about how are they taking all that work and then keeping their priorities straight. Mm-hmm. So how are they making sure that they're keeping their family, their spouse, their significant other, their kids first? And also taking care of themselves, either their mental or physical health, so that they can stay on top of their game and actually enjoy life while building their amazing business.
Because that is really, it's a cliche, but it's also true that you invest yourself so much in this idea. You want it to succeed so much. You work 10, 12, 15 hours a day for weeks on end, and then all other priorities in your life, which are important, wither, right? Maybe your marriage, your family, right? So how do you do that? What is the answer to that question?
Yeah, it's different for everybody, you know? And I think that for me, one thing that we talk about quite a bit on the podcast is that you have to constantly do a calendar audit. And so whether that's an actual audit of your time and you're actually writing down everything you're working on, or at least keeping tally in your head and saying and doing what you say. So if you say your family's first, but then you do an audit and you're like, oh, well, I haven't sat down and had dinner with my kids or my spouse or a friend in weeks, well, then you're not living what you're saying or is your number one priority.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Is it true that when you go into an entrepreneurial venture based on the people that you have had on your podcast, that you've talked to, that for a number of years, you've just got to put your head down and warn your family and your acquaintances and your friends, your circle of friends, that I'm putting my head down, I'm going to do this, so I may be a little different?
It's absolutely true that you've got to kind of what I call burn it at both ends for a while. I think the key is understanding that you are doing that, you're making a conscious decision to do it, and that you have a plan to stop doing it eventually. I think you have folks that'll just burn through 5 years of their life and look back and realize, wow, I've completely neglected my family, my friendships, and myself in order to do this, and I didn't realize I was making that sacrifice.
Mm-hmm. Okay, what are some other themes that come through in the podcast, Slow Hustle podcast that you put out? How can people find it? Just Google that, I suppose.
Yeah, absolutely. Google it, slowhustle.com, iTunes, Stitcher, we're on both of those, and so you can find it there and check out the past episodes. We've got a couple dozen up now and quite a few more that are pre-recorded. And so there's people that are all walks of life, you know. That might be just they're on their first business or their 10th. And it's interesting to gain that perspective. And what I found is very interesting. It doesn't matter if you're starting your first business or your 10th. The struggles are really the same. And a lot of folks struggle with keeping their priorities straight. And it's really, really fun to hear the different tools and tactics that people use in order to keep those checks and balances in place.
Mm-hmm. How do you deal with failure? How should people approach failure? It will inevitably come unless you are extremely lucky as an entrepreneur. Your first ever idea just goes bingo.
Very rare, right? So, I mean, failure is something that's going to happen. It's going to happen, and just realize that that's going to happen. And what I like to say is, you know, there's always a silver lining, so there's always something to be learned from it. And a lot of times you'll take a massive failure and you'll realize that you have this one little nugget that'll take you to that next idea, that next adventure, that next connection. And so to realize that, you know, the failure's there, but there's always something good to come out of it. And I think it was Zig Ziglar that said that, you know, the Ford Mustang was a vehicle that came out of one of Ford's biggest failures. And so without that failure, they wouldn't have had one of the best-selling cars in the market.
Peter Alwood is with me, host and founder of the Slow Hustle podcast. He lives in Decorah. You're about more than this podcast. You've got some startups that you're involved with. Tell us a little bit about those.
Yeah. So Good Blogs is a patent-pending content marketing platform. It's focused on incentivized user-generated content. We got to speak last year at EntreFest with my co-founder, Jason Trout. And I have an e-commerce automotive parts business. I started in college and still running that. It's going strong for about 15 years. And then I got a couple of ones that are in the works that I can't talk about just yet.
Okay. Peter, let's also talk with Nicole Forsyth. I know you know her as well. Co-founder and chief agility officer for something called How Factory. Nicole Forsyth, welcome to our program. You're joining us by phone. Hi.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Thank you. And you're also part of EntreFest. What will you be doing? Talking? You'll be talking about, I'm seeing Scrum for Startups. Scrum, I guess I think of Australia for the Scrum, the start of rugby, yeah. Right? So how do we use Scrum in this context?
Absolutely. Well, the Scrum I'll be talking about is actually kind of a simple project management framework that's often used in software development. How Factory is a software company, so we use Scrum to keep our development on track, and we actually use it to keep our whole organization kind of nimble, kind of learning quickly from our failures and successes.
Does it have anything to do with throwing an idea into a large group of people and seeing who comes up with it?
Absolutely. It has to do with, in rugby, it's about moving the ball down the field, yep, kind of as a group of people. Mm-hmm. And Scrum is really about using a cross-functional team to kind of tackle a complex idea. Mm-hmm. And startups are very complex.
Mm-hmm. Can you give us put a little more details on that, how a Scrum works, perhaps with an example of an idea?
Sure. So for us, we actually use Scrum. We use it because a company based here in Cedar Rapids, Iowa, which is where I'm at right now, Geonetric, uses it in their operations. And the founder of Geonetric started the Iowa Startup Accelerator. And he really found that as an entrepreneur, his company was transformed by using Scrum. So in Scrum, a couple of things that you do every day, you get together and you have what's called a daily Scrum or a daily stand-up, where you get together and you kind of coordinate on current projects. And it's a 15-minute meeting, and you do it every single day. Then you also do things like you plan together as a team.
How is that meeting different than the meetings that some of us wish we weren't at or sleep through?
I don't know if your meetings last 15 minutes.
I'm certainly not talking about Iowa Public Radio. But
many of my other meetings in my other life are not quite so brief. So the point is to do lots of iterations and kind of frequent touch points. You want to have visibility into a whole system. And it's actually a project management method that comes, one of the co-founders is a fighter pilot. So that really comes out of his training as an engineer and kind of a person trained in systems thinking.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, and
it's a fascinating tool, and I'll be at EntreFest talking about it.
Okay. What is How Factory?
Yeah. How Factory is a learning platform that helps businesses easily create, use, and update their standard operating procedures and work instructions. Mm-hmm. Okay. So we make software, and right now we serve advanced industrial manufacturers across the country.
Okay. Jeff Wood is also with us to talk about entrepreneurship. Jeff Wood is joining us in our Des Moines studio. Hi, Jeff.
Hello. How are you?
I'm great. You run something called Welch Avenue and have a new project called Gravitate that has to do with co-working spaces. Let's talk about Welch Avenue. You launched it in 2013. What is it?
Welch Avenue is really a community building company around the startup community throughout the state, but primarily here in central Iowa. We do lots of news sharing. We do lots of connecting people. And one of the pieces that came out of that was a need for a physical space where people could do that. And that was Gravitate, which we launched in September of last year.
Mm-hmm. So earlier in the program, Amanda talked about the isolation that you can feel, having an idea, wanting to realize again, and realizing there's very little support around, and actually the people who could support you in your network might think you're crazy or might think it's just not a good idea. And this is a way to counteract that.
It absolutely is. It is a lonely profession, and it's something that can become easily distracting. So having a space like Gravitate, we have about 8,000 square feet in the heart of downtown Des Moines. We have more than 100 members that come in on some sort of basis and work alongside each other, even though they're working on different things. They can have water cooler time to talk about the latest technology or the football game that they just saw. And then we come together for learning opportunities as well. There's actually a lunch and learn going on right now about really understanding how credit card processing works when you accept credit as part of your business.
Mm-hmm. This is really interesting. There's been a lot of research done lately on co-working, and you can be in one section of Gravitate working on, let's say, T-shirts. They have an example from the half hour. And then some other person is, I don't know, lawn care. It's the spring. Let's take that. How does, even though your ideas are completely different, research shows that you do better in a group. Why is that?
I think you do better because you have that support. But people who work in co-working, and you're probably referring to some of the Harvard Business Review research that came out last week, which is really exciting for those of us in co-working, that said that people really thrive in this environment. And that's because the people that are there, they really find their work meaningful. They're working on the things that they choose to work on. They also are in a place where they have job control. Most of the people that work with us don't work an 8-to-5 job. They may come in at 10, they may come in 7. I was there until midnight last night, that type of thing. You can work on the job when you want to. And the third thing is just being a part of that community. And I think that's what we all really yearn for is, you know, I'm working on the idea that's important to me, but I need other people around me to support me in that.
Mm-hmm. Also, going to a different physical space is different. I worked years ago, many years out of my home, and then you get this idea that it's really great to mix. So I can make a tea, I can make dinner, I can take care of the kids, and then I can go off and do this for 20 minutes and come back to it. And you blur the line between it. And this establishes a line that when you're at work, you're at work, and when not, at not, and that can be beneficial.
Absolutely. When I work from home, I get distracted by the dishes that aren't done or the laundry that's not folded. I need to be in a physically different space. I know for some people that work at home, they actually tell you to get out of the house, walk around the block, and then come back in so you can change your mind shift. But it's a lot more productive if you join a space like what we have with Gravitate.
Mm-hmm. Peter Alwood, you've been nodding your head on a lot of things that Jeff has said there. And in a way, your podcast is a way to bring the isolation or to break the isolation too, isn't it?
Absolutely. It's a way to start the conversation and realize that you're not the only one out there dealing with these issues. Co-working space is a great place for it. And it's interesting, the Entrefest tie-in is that, you know, 2 years ago, I attend Entrefest for the first time, and I meet this really tall guy named Chris Fassler, and he hands me a card to Vault Co-working Space, which, you know, is now in the Geometric building, but used to be down the street. And he's like, here's a pass. And I didn't even know they existed. And I visit Cedar Rapids all the time. I have family here and friends, and I've been working from coffee shops. And when I went to Vault for the first time, I meet David Tominski and a lot of these other guys. I was like a breath of fresh air. It's like, wow, I don't need to work in isolation with my headphones on in a coffee shop. I can actually come here and have people to pull on, have people have water cooler time, like Jeff was mentioning, and have a sense of community and tribe, so to speak. And it was super empowering.
Mm-hmm. Let's get to the question of how you know if this might be something for your future. You've perhaps got a stable job now, or maybe you've got a job that been there, done that. You want to do something else. How do you know, and I want to ask each of you, how do you know if you've got this spirit or if there's the seed of this spirit in you, Nicole?
Well, I come from, oddly enough, I was born in Denver, Colorado, but I come from a long line of Iowa folks. My dad was a North Iowa farm boy. And to be honest, I just don't think I can help it. I think entrepreneurs are people who are just absolutely driven to create, to make, to build community, to make people's lives better. And I think going to something like Entrefest, if the feeling, I really do think that you kind of can catch that fire and it'll respond to something in you. You'll find you can't stop thinking about it. My co-founders at How Factory and I kind of describe it as little gerbils in our head. They're just always running on that wheel. Like there's a persistent problem and you want to tackle it. So right. A place like Entrefest, I think, can really draw that out of you.
And give you the tools to let those gerbils do something more productive than run around in a circle.
Absolutely.
Jeff Wood, what's your answer to that question? Is it a personality type we're looking for, or does everybody have some entrepreneurship in them?
I think everybody has some entrepreneurship, but that doesn't necessarily mean you should pursue it. I was working on my talk for Entrefest later this week last night and came across a quote that wasn't from Ben Silberman, but he's the one who told it to me, who's from Des Moines, the founder of Pinterest. And he had said, you know, the things that you spend your time on and you're procrastinating, that's what you should be doing for a living. And I think that when you find that you're spending much more time on your startup idea and that's the only thing you can focus on, that's when it's the time to make that break, so long as you're able to support yourself and your family and, you know, all those issues that Peter's mm-hmm. talked about with his podcast.
What was your previous life before getting into Welch Avenue and Gravitate like, Jeff?
I have a degree in city planning from Iowa State as an undergrad and worked with civil engineering companies for about 10 years in modernizing local government offices, both here in Indiana and Charlotte and places like mm-hmm. that.
For people who are, Peter, for people who are, don't want to make the leap completely, you want to keep some means of supporting yourself and your family, you can do that, right? You don't need to say goodbye to everything you once knew in stability. How do you do that?
Yeah, so I'd call it your side hustle, right? And so it's something that you can work with on the side, in the evening, on the weekends, to where it's something that you can, you know, use to maybe make some extra money, or it's a passion project, etc. You can definitely do those things. And I always joke, I mean, my first company I started and ran from around 1 to 4 in the morning because I was an engineering student. I had a 20-hour week internship, but I still had this idea that was cooking in the background and I didn't want to let it die. And so I think if you're running a business in the middle of the night, it's probably something you're passionate enough about to pursue and you know, leave your job at some point if that makes sense for you.
Peter Alwood of the Slow Hustle podcast and Nicole Forsyth of the How Factory and Jeff Wood of runs Welch Avenue. Let's talk with David. David, listening in Iowa City. What point do you want to throw in here as we finish up our hour talking about entrepreneurship and Entrefest?
Yeah, I wanted to talk about social entrepreneurship. And that's a trend. I mean, if you really look at a lot of the innovation that's happening in the broader entrepreneurship world, it's happening in social entrepreneurship. And very briefly, social entrepreneurship is any for-profit or non-profit venture that puts mission, puts improving community, improving the environment, serving as central to their mission. And so it can be a for-profit that is set up as a benefit corporation. It could be a non-profit. And I would encourage, I love the discussion about identifying the problem and finding creative solutions for that. Just something to mention for listeners in the Eastern Iowa area, my company is Nurture Energy, and we're a green energy company. And we've partnered with an amazing educational software company, a school budgeting software company called Kiveta out of Lisbon. And we are starting a social entrepreneurship incubator in downtown Lisbon, which will be free of tuition and provide consulting for anyone who's interested in social entrepreneurship. And if any listeners are interested, I'd invite them to email me. My email is david@nurtureenergy. That's NURTUREENERGY. That's 1E.com. And I'd like to hear what the other guests think about the social entrepreneurship movement.
Okay, David, thank you. In Iowa City, social entrepreneurship, I guess we heard a little bit about that from Simeon Talley, making the T-shirts with the political slogan, something you believe in, you buy the T-shirt, but also some of the profit from the T-shirt, some of it at least, goes toward whatever you believe would better this world. What about social entrepreneurship, Peter Awad?
I think that if you have a passion and you feel like you can build a business around it, and at the core have this social aspect, I think go for it. I would guess one thing that I would maybe stress is to make sure that it's not a bolt-on or like this tag-on thing, that it really is at the core. I guess I've seen a few companies where they bolted it on and then they wanted to make it look like it was a social endeavor when really it wasn't. And so if you're really passionate about what you're pushing, make it at the center of the core of your mission, and make that the focus and go for it.
Yes, Nicole, please.
Yeah, chime in quickly. I spent about 10 years working in nonprofits before coming to, I'm actually by training a librarian and actually still currently a librarian at Kirkwood Community College. I think Peter's right on. I think there are lots of different business models, and one of them is the traditional 501c3 nonprofit. I think here in the Midwest, we have a really strong tradition of doing social entrepreneurship that allows you to support yourself and your family, but may not have the traditional business model of being a for-profit business. So there's lots of ways to impact the world positively, and you just really have to be considerate in your business model, whether it's a for-profit corporation or the 501c3, which has a lot of benefits, including tax status.
Jeff Wood, let me get to you as we wind up our hour. We've talked about Iowa's brain drain here as recently as last week, a recurring theme, talking about why educated young people leave the state. And how does this entrepreneurship fit into that idea? What, you can stay in the state and realize these dreams?
You absolutely can stay in the state and realize these dreams. It's funny, I'm giving a talk tomorrow night at the beginning of EntreVest actually about the brain drain and why I actually think this is an awesome opportunity for Iowa, not necessarily something to lament as we've done for the past 20 or 30 years.
An awesome opportunity. How so?
Because I think it creates thousands and thousands of ambassadors for our state who go around and they carry Iowa with them, or at least they should. Reed Hastings, who founded Netflix, has this culture comment about their company. We want to create a great company to be from, and I think Iowa is a great state to be from. We just need to make sure that we hold on to those people and that Iowa is always part of their story as they go on to do amazing things all across the world.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So Iowa is a good brand for the country and the world?
I think so.
Uh-huh. Okay. Nicole, in closing here, well, I guess we've run out of time, so I'll have to direct people to the EntreVest website, EntreVest.com, and I want to thank you all for joining us. A little rapid fire this half hour, but we got some great ideas. Hopefully we touched some spirits, minds of entrepreneurs out there. Nicole, what is the first step people should take if they feel themselves awakened here? What do you need to do as a first step? Going to EntreVest, but if you can't do that?
If you can't, look up the Iowa Startup Accelerator. It's a great group of people and really creating wonderful businesses in the state of Iowa. IowaStartupAccelerator.com.
Nicole Forsyth, co-founder and chief agility officer for How Factory. Also, Peter Awad, host and founder of the Slow Hustle podcast. And Jeff Wood runs Welch Avenue. Jeff, Nicole, Peter, thank you for joining us this half hour.
Thanks, Ben.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And River to River is produced by Emily Woodbury, Claire Roth, and Lindsay Moon. And we had help from Jason Burns in Ames, and in Des Moines, John Pemble helped us out. Catherine Perkins, our executive producer. I'm Ben Kiefer. Join us again tomorrow for Politics Wednesdays. Hope to talk to you soon.